Welcome to the Morning by Morning podcast, where we discuss faith, relationships, and life advice. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite cozy drink and start the day with us. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to a new week. Well, I guess it's Tuesday, but welcome to a new day, your Tuesday or whatever day you're listening. And thank you so much for joining again. Today is going to be a 2022 book review. I realize that it is only June, so this is obviously not a full year of reading. However, it's June, so we're halfway through, and I actually conveniently have read 6 books. I don't know if it worked out, like, I don't know if I read exactly one a month, but I just happened to have finished 6 at the time that we were in June. So I just figured it would be kind of fun to talk about the books that I've read so far this year and kind of whether or not I recommend them, what I like, didn't like, etc. And also the next couple books I'm probably going to be reading. I actually made a goal for myself in 2021 to read 12 books, and I don't remember exactly how many I read. Actually, hold on. I think I made a little list. I think that I surpassed it, though. And this year, I didn't really make myself a goal. I just have been reading for fun. So let me see. Oh, actually, I did. I read 12 books in 2021. And it looks like I am on track to read 12 books in 2022 as well, as long as I kind of continue on the same path. And honestly, it just has worked out because, again, I'm not necessarily trying to read one a month, but I think that when I was stressed or needed like an escape from being, you know, consumed by work and all of that stuff, and I wanted to just relax and also take a break from screen time and TV, I would read. And that just has worked out well for me. I very much love to read outside if the weather's nice. Sometimes I like to take a bath and read. And I just find it such a way to get out of my own head and focus on something else. And I have very much been in a fiction, I guess, what's the word? Mood for literally months. A fiction mood. Because I definitely have long stretches of time where I read mostly nonfiction. I feel like I went through one of those a couple years ago where I, for some reason, just didn't see the point in reading fiction. And I was like, what's the point of that? I'm not learning. And I just didn't see it as worth my time. And literally so far this year, I have read 0 nonfiction books because, again, I've just kind of needed that fun element of reading. And I wanted to just experience stories and stuff like that that wasn't so realistic and that didn't feel like constantly learning. So it just depends on the mood, but I will be only talking about 6 fiction books today. I don't think I'll finish out the year with just fiction. Actually, I kept hearing people talk about this on social media and podcasts and stuff like that. I ordered the book Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Weschler. I think that's how you say the last name, but this is a thick book. I have not started it yet, but so obviously I'm not going to recommend or not recommend, but I just heard a lot of people talking about how it's really helpful with like learning what is actually happening in your body and some more like natural methods of doing things and really getting to know your cycle and all of the things. So anyways, I'm excited to read that, but I definitely haven't started yet. And I feel like even if I start it this year, there's no guarantee I'll finish it. That is a very large book. And like I said, I've just been in a fiction mood for a long time. And so I feel like even if I start Taking Charge of Your Fertility, I will still be reading a fiction book on the side. So anyways, let's get into it. Oh, except I didn't even say what I was grateful for. So let me do that first. I apologize in advance. Again, I said this last week, but this might be a little bit rambly because I usually like to make myself an outline, and I just didn't do that. I'm just going with the flow. I have my books like on a list, and I have given them a number of stars out of 5 stars, but that's about as far as it went. So I apologize for the scattered brain happening right now, but my gratitude is I had a really, really good weekend, and I got to spend time with my cousins and my sister on Friday night, and we did a game night and we made homemade pizza, and it was really fun. And I just have to give a shout out right now. Any of my cousins listening, I feel like it is so nice when your cousins are your best friends and when you get to just like experience being together your whole life and see each other often. I know that's not everyone's experience, but I just grew up in a family where we got to see each other a lot. And I feel like even when other friendships sometimes like felt closer or further away, or you feel like you don't know people as well, like you have your family. And I think that's just nice. And I'm grateful for that. But anyways, so shout out to them, but I got to hang out with family. And then on Saturday, we actually celebrated Father's Day a little bit early, and we did mini golf with my dad and went to this place that had Hawaiian shaved ice. It was so good. And then we got to just spend some time outside, played badminton, and went out to eat. And it was just a really, really good weekend. And then Sunday was thankfully a very chill day where I just got to spend time with my husband, and we went to church and just, oh, actually we were outside a lot of that day too. We played pickleball. And so it was a really good weekend of balance of just time sitting and talking with people and having quality time, but also getting outside, being active, going on a walk, all of that good stuff. So very grateful for all of that. And I'm also grateful because as soon as I'm done recording this, I am most definitely going to make one of those mug cakes where you really want a dessert, but you don't want to bake this huge batch of something, and you just make a little cake or a cookie in a mug. Anyways, nobody asked to hear about that, but I'm also grateful for that in advance. Anyways, okay, now we can jump into it. So, books that I have read in 2022. Really quick, I'm literally just going to list the titles because, frankly, if you're not interested, you can know what's coming and whether or not you really want to hear about these books, or maybe you've already read them. So I'm just going to say them real quick and then jump into each one. So this year, so far, I have read Winter Garden by Kristen Hanna, I Found You by Lisa Jewell, The Secrets of Midwives by Sally Hepworth, Voice in the Wind by Francine Rivers, The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides, I think that's how you say his last name, and Night Road by Kristen Hanna. And then I'm currently in the middle of An Echo in the Darkness, which is the sequel to Voice in the Wind by Francine Rivers, but I am not quite finished with it yet. So I have a couple thoughts, but I won't go too far into that. So those are the books I finished so far this year. I will say I've also been reading my Bible. Most days, not quite every day, but most days I read a portion of a chapter of my Bible, or a chapter depending on how much time I have in the morning and how long it is. But I usually do that in the mornings, and then whatever fiction book I'm reading, I like to read that in the evening, like after I've finished whatever I need to finish for the day. And I just, you know, like I said, want to relax and not be looking at a screen, or just want a break from noise. Speaking of which, there's an episode of the podcast called Stop Listening to This Podcast, and my friend Rachel and I talked all about taking breaks from noise. So I guess you could argue that reading and reading fiction is a version of, you know, mental distraction and all of that. But as far as actual noise that is stimulating your brain nonstop, I think that reading is a great way to take a break from that as well. Okay. First one, number one, is Winter Garden by Kristen Hanna. I probably shouldn't start with this one. They're literally in order of when I read them this year, but this was such a good book. Like, I honestly feel like I'm not going to give as good of a review to some of these other ones after this one, but Winter Garden by Kristen Hanna, I would definitely recommend. I gave that one 5 stars, and that is the only book on this list so far that I've given 5 stars to. So again, maybe I'm starting out with the best one and it'll be a downhill slope from there. But I also read it in the winter, so I don't know, that's kind of fun. And basically, okay, I should say this too. As I'm describing these, I'm going to try not to like completely spoil everything. So
take that with a grain of salt, like if you're wanting to read one of these. But for Winter Garden, I picked this because I have already read a Kristen Hannah book. It was called Firefly Lane. I read it last year in 2021, and I really liked it because Firefly Lane was primarily a book about friendship, and I haven't really read a lot of those, like, but a very deep book about friendship and kind of following the characters, these two girls, throughout their lives, like over the course of decades. And I just liked the depth of that book and kind of the complexity of it. Like, it wasn't a, you know, shallow friendship and here's the drama and then we got over it. It's like a very, I felt, kind of realistic picture of like people with flaws. Like, yes, they're likable characters and you're trying to root for them, but you also see how they are broken, and that is real life. So I really liked that book. And so for that reason, I remembered her. I was looking for a new book to start, and I saw that she had a book called Winter Garden. So for a quick premise, again, I'm going to try not to ruin any of these, but this book is primarily a family book. So again, you know, I said like Firefly Lane was a friendship book. Winter Garden is based around a family. Basically, it is this older couple, the parents, and they are aging, and they have two daughters who are complete opposites. And so one of them is very much a free spirit, and she travels and she doesn't like tie herself down to anything, and she doesn't want to commit to someone and get married, and she wants to be free and all of that. And then the other one is kind of the one who took like a traditional route, like she got married, had kids, stayed close to her family, is responsible, like never does anything wild or for herself and all of that. Okay, so there's like the conflict between the two sisters, and then I won't say who, someone dies, and then the sisters kind of have to come together for their family. They have to work together, and they usually don't get along, so it's a challenge for them. And this book, I will also say, was very deep because, again, one of the characters, I'm trying not to completely give away who dies, but one of the characters, the two sisters feel like they have not been able to actually get to know like their entire lives. And they saw this as a way for this person to protect themselves and not like get attached and all of that. And the sisters were hurt by this. But really, throughout the whole book, you're hearing the story of this person's, this family member of theirs, life in the past. And it's told as a story, like almost like a fairy tale, which this is sounding so weird, but I promise it's such a good book. Basically, though, you're seeing the past in these little snippets throughout the book while you also kind of track with their current struggles that they're going through, and you learn about the past and why this person turned out the way they did. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And there's some historical fiction elements, I guess you could say, like throughout this, like you're also learning about a different culture in the past that I will say there are a lot of really sad parts, maybe some disturbing scenes, I guess, just as a warning. It's definitely not like a happy book. But again, I'm just reminding you, the only one I've given 5 stars to on this list. So I definitely recommend it. Honestly, I would probably say this is one of my top 10 favorite books I have ever read. So yeah, Winter Garden, Kristen Hannah, very good. Would recommend, 5 stars. I'm going to move right along so I don't give anything else away. The next book was I Found You by Lisa Jewell. If you don't know, Lisa Jewell writes a lot of books that kind of have a mystery vibe. They might be a little bit of like in the thriller genre. And I told you, I've been in a fiction mood for months and months and months. I kept seeing Lisa Jewell books recommended all over Instagram and YouTube and all of that. Like, just as I was coming across media and stuff, people were recommending her. And I will say that I read some of her books last year that I liked much better than this one. So again, this one's called I Found You. It was okay. It was 3 stars in my opinion. I would just say it was a little too shallow for me. However, Lisa Jewell is good at suspense and kind of keeping you guessing, and it did still suck me in. So, you know, I'm not just completely bashing on it. I think that it's, you know, if you're looking for something that you can read really quickly and you like to be kept guessing, then that might be a good one. I read her book last year called The Third Wife. She had a book called The Girls in the Garden. Those books just had more to them. And again, it just depends on your style, what you like. Her books too, I will say, there's been a few things I've come across that were kind of disturbing, or that, you know, I wouldn't be like, ooh, you should definitely read this because of certain things in the books. But I do think that her style of writing is very intriguing generally. So I would say if you're going to read Lisa Jewell and you haven't yet, don't start with I Found You. I gave it 3 stars. As a very, very quick premise, this woman meets a man who basically has no memory of who he is, where he came from, but he feels like he's done something wrong. And so you're trying to figure that out. At the same time, it keeps flashing back in the past to these teenagers and something very traumatic and violent and honestly just kind of disturbing and weird that happened in the past. And so you're trying to put together who in that story in the past this man is. Like, is he a victim? Is he a killer? Was he a bystander? Is he related to that story at all? There's like, I would say, a couple of different mysteries, I guess you could say, going on at once. And so basically she jumps around from different characters being the narrator. And so you're getting little bits and pieces here and there, and you're trying to put it together and figure out who this person is. Why are they important? And yeah, we'll just leave it there. So again, I don't dislike Lisa Jewell. Clearly, I've read several of her books. I would not necessarily recommend I Found You as my first choice, but there it is. Okay. Number 3 was called The Secrets of Midwives by Sally Hepworth. I really enjoyed this book. I heard about it from Allison Bickerstaff. She's on YouTube and Instagram, and I remember her saying that it was interesting and that she felt like she learned a lot from it, even though it was fiction. And I've been kind of into learning a little bit more about, you know, midwives or different things with like natural birth and all of that stuff. I don't know. You guys, the internet sometimes just sucks you in. You just go down these rabbit trails. And so I've followed a couple of pages on Instagram about stuff like that and just kind of learning about more natural ways of doing things. Anyways, I don't have much to speak on that because I have not had the experience of having a midwife, but I know some people that really recommend that. So anyways, I was like, okay, this is fiction, but it's something that is, you know, a topic that I'm a little bit interested in anyways. So I picked this up at the library, and this one I gave 4 stars. I genuinely really liked this book. I would recommend it. Basically, I felt like overall it was pretty lighthearted. There is some family drama in this one as well. And what I really liked about it, this just is heartwarming to me, is that the 3 main characters are the main character, okay, and then her mom and her grandma. And all 3 of them are midwives, and they kind of, like, I guess you could say, disagree about certain methods or like ways of doing things. They don't necessarily, they're not all on the same level of like how natural to be with things or how much intervention to use or stuff like that. Okay. So they're not really all on the same page. Pretty early on in the book, you find out that the main character is pregnant and she refuses to tell anyone who the father is. And so it's just interesting because the whole book is based around these 3 women who deliver babies, and she doesn't want to, like, you know, let people get involved with her own baby. And I just liked the dynamic, and it really was just like a message of family and, I guess, kind of female unity or something. I don't know if that's the right word, but just kind of like a coming together for a common purpose. And it also had a little bit of kind of a mysterious intrigue type thing where each of the three women has a secret that they don't want people, the other ones, to find out about. And so, for example, with the grandma, it's like something in her past that she hopes people don't find out about. And for the mom, it's something within her marriage and within her work, kind of both of those things. And then, like I said, the main character, her pregnancy. And so it jumps around again where it shows you the different perspectives of the three women. So each time you get to a new chapter, it will be one of those three who are telling the story. And so I really liked that one. Honestly, if I was wanting like a familiar, lighthearted read, I would potentially read that one again. So again, it's The Secrets of Midwives by Sally Hepworth, and I gave it 4 stars. All right, this next one I probably will have a little bit more to say about because it's A Voice in the Wind by Francine Rivers, and it's just a little fresher in my mind, not necessarily because I have finished reading it the most recently, but because I am currently on the sequel. So basically, I think I mentioned this on a different episode, but a long time ago, like during either middle school or high school, I don't remember exactly what year, I and my mom and my sister and several of my friends had all read the book Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers, which is now a movie. I know people are very divided on if that's a good movie or not. I frankly enjoyed it, and I still really like the book Redeeming Love. So my cousin and sister and my mom and I were all wanting to read a book, and we decided to read Voice in the Wind. And we really did not know anything about the storyline. I don't even know if I realized at the time that it was a trilogy, but there are 3 books in the series. And basically, it takes place in the 1st century in Rome. And it's kind of a lot of different elements going on. There are, okay, I should also say it is a Christian fiction book. So there's a lot that deals with faith and kind of having your faith tested and standing up for what you believe in a time and a place where that wasn't a safe thing to do and all of that stuff. So overall, it's basically got some drama, some romance. There's some violence, like there's like stuff with gladiators and things like that. But I would say overall, it's kind of a drama type book. And the main character is basically trying to hold true to God throughout like these really ridiculous trials she has to go through and, you know, losing people she loves and being alone in what she believes and being in this place where she has no power. And well, I'll just say, okay, so she's basically a slave in most of the book, and she loves the family she's working for, and she wants to be a light to them, but also they each have their own separate storylines that are like things that they're struggling with and, you know, trying to become better people. And so again, I'm trying not to completely ruin these books if you are wanting to read them, but those are kind of some of the elements of this. And I will say, overall, I enjoyed it. I would maybe do like 3.4 stars or 4 stars because, why did I say 3.4? I meant 3.5 stars. 3.5 or 4 stars for this one, because I will say in the beginning, it took me a while to actually get into it because the character, it was just kind of confusing. The characters all have names that are like Roman or Greek or something like that, where it was kind of hard to even like pronounce some of them in my head and keep track of who is who. And so that was a bit of a challenge. And I felt like the information that you get early on in the book just doesn't suck you in. And I really like when you start reading a book and like pretty early on, you're like ready to just jump in and keep going. And I honestly felt that way about Redeeming Love as well, for a different reason. For Redeeming Love, it's not boring in the beginning. It's like traumatic and awful subject matter to read about. But in Voice in the Wind, it's more just, I would say, kind of dry in the very beginning, and it feels more like reading history than historical fiction. So that is just my opinion, but I think it took me a little bit to get into it. But once I did, I very much enjoyed it, and now all of us are reading or have finished reading the second book. So that's how you know it was pretty good if you want to keep going. They are a pretty big book. So the second one is called An Echo in the Darkness. That's the one that I'm on currently. And so I like being able to kind of, once you invest that much into a storyline, I like when you're able to kind of follow the characters through to the next book. So I won't say anything about the second book because I'm not done with it yet, but I would say overall, I did like A Voice in the Wind. I do think some of it is a bit tricky as far as the beliefs that are implied through the book. So, you know, I am a Christian, and my family members that are reading this book are Christians, but there were just things that we read that were like, does this, you know, do we feel that this is showing like the truth about this certain concept? Like, obviously it's not claiming to be a true story and it's not the Bible and all of that, but I think it's just an interesting concept when you take things that are biblical and then your own ideas and you kind of mix some things. And it's not even like the focus is not on specific people in the Bible. I will say that it's more taking place during the time frame, and you kind of get these little glimpses of a couple of people who are in the Bible, but most of them are fictional characters, and it's just kind of showing what it was like to be a Christian in the first century in Rome. And I will say it doesn't feel preachy. I know sometimes Christian fiction can feel really preachy. Most of the time it doesn't feel like that. I just would say there are some things that maybe are like glorified or put on this pedestal that I struggled with a little bit, and my sister said the same thing. So again, but that's just our opinion, and maybe you wouldn't disagree with those things or it wouldn't bother you. So I will just say that as a little disclaimer as well. But overall, interesting. I really liked actually learning a little bit about the culture as well, things that I didn't know. So yeah, I'll stop with that one. But that is how I thought about A Voice in the Wind. I will give it, why not? It can have 4 stars. All right, next, second to last, was The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. This one, too, had so much hype on social media. I felt like so many people were posting it on their Instagram stories that they were reading it. I put it on my list last year, I think, and I just hadn't gotten around to it. And you will notice there's quite the variety of genres within fiction of my books that I chose. So I don't like primarily just stick to one genre. I like a lot of different types of fiction, but this one is, I would say, mostly like a mystery thriller type book, and some of the time like a psychological thriller. But I gave this one 4 stars overall because I was so surprised at the end. And it was kind of funny because throughout this whole book, it's one of those things where it keeps you guessing and you're like, I'm going to figure it out. And you think you know it, and then you're wrong. And then at the very end, I was just so shocked by how wrong I was. And I briefly explained this book to both my husband and my sister. And as I was explaining it, they both like blurted out the ending and they were like, oh, is this what happens? And they were correct. And it just blew my mind. I'm like, how did you possibly figure that out? I had no idea. I don't think that this is going to ruin anything because I'm pretty sure you find this out very early, or like if you read the back of the book. But basically the storyline follows this girl who, well, this woman who is accused of killing her husband however many years before, and that she literally just stopped speaking after that. And so no one knows why she did it. No one has any clue like what actually was going on. And it's called The Silent Patient because it is through the eyes of her therapist. And so his whole goal throughout this story is to get her to open up and to talk and to kind of like get her to reach healing through, you know, finally sharing what happened and finally speaking. And so everyone tries to dissuade him and basically says, there's no way you're going to get her to talk because, you know, people have already tried this and there's, it's just not going to happen. And so it's through his eyes a good portion of the time. And then eventually you have access to her diary. And so then it flips back and forth between her diary and the therapist's point of view. And this one, like I said, it just kept me guessing. There was some of it that was pretty dark, but not in a way that was like creepy. I don't know if you guys have that distinction, but I like more of a thriller. I don't read horror books or watch horror movies. I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't mind like a mystery, like kind of on the edge of my seat type of story, but I don't need just like gore, horror, anything like that. So this one, I would say it's not like too dark. It's not gonna like, it didn't keep me up at night or give me bad dreams or anything. But it was a little bit dark. It was very suspenseful. And to me, again, I just gave it 4 stars because I was just very impressed with how much it threw me off track. And that is how I made myself feel better when both my sister and my husband were able to very quickly guess the ending, because I was like, okay, but I only told them this like chunk of info that like an overview of the story without like telling them about every single character and all of these different things that, like, you know, when the author tries to make you think one thing or another thing, they kind of give you all this description and details and they like lead you in all these different directions. And so you're more distracted. And so that's the reason I'm giving myself for why I didn't see it coming, but maybe they're just better than me at predicting. So I would recommend that book just because, well, okay, I will say if you get very easily creeped out or you don't want to read something that is, actually, most of it is not violent. There's like a couple of violent parts because, again, it's kind of like a murder mystery, like they're figuring out what happened. But I will say most of the focus is psychological and it's not about like a violent act. It's not like this huge in detail of a crime. It's more so you just know from the beginning it already happened and it's like someone trying to help someone else mentally work through it. So that's how I would describe it without giving everything away. And I will move on to my very last book. So this one is called Night Road by Kristen Hanna. And I actually just finished this yesterday, so it's fresh in my mind. This one I was kind of reading at the same time as A Voice in the Wind. So I was going back and forth reading, you know, whichever one I felt like at the time. I was trying not to just rush through Voice in the Wind and get ahead of everyone else who was reading it. And then, of course, they finished it before me. So that worked a little bit too well. But so anyways, this one took me a long time to read. And that is honestly because it definitely did not make me want to keep turning the page. It was something that I just decided to finish because I'd already kind of invested and spent time on it and, you know, was maybe halfway through when I started considering not finishing it. But this one I only gave 2 stars. And I've already said that I very much liked Firefly Lane and Winter Garden by Kristen Hanna. So I am not saying that I don't like her as an author. I'm not hating on her writing style or her skill or anything like that. I just do not think this is her best work at all. So Night Road, to give a little overview, there are these teenage twins, a boy and a girl, at the beginning, and they get a little bit older as the book goes on, and then their family. So it's about their parents and the two twins and then a really good friend that they make. So there's a third teenager in the mix. And you can tell it's something that kind of like starts off a little bit in the future and then it goes back to kind of lead up to that moment and see what was really traumatic. So you can tell that something traumatic has happened. There's been some sort of tragedy and they don't tell you exactly what it is, but it happens on Night Road and it really changes the dynamic of this family forever and people are left really like broken and bitter over what happens. And so then you kind of go back in time and you see what led up to it.
And again, I like a little bit of like mystery and intrigue. So in the very beginning, I'm like, ooh, what happened? I want to find out. But it just, to me, it just wasn't very deep. And maybe that is insensitive of me because I have not personally gone through the experience that this book is about. And I could see how it could be nice for someone who's gone through something like this because, you know, maybe it would be good to see through someone else's perspective. But basically, there's quite a bit of the mom of the twins. I will say that she's basically the main character. You do get to see some different perspectives at times, but she is the focus. And she starts off being one of these moms who is very, you know, she micromanages her kids, basically. Like, she's a positive person to them and she loves them and like they can tell that, but she is way, way, way involved in their lives. And then when she is no longer able to be, it kind of destroys her as a person, and she has to work through that. And just to give, I guess, a little bit more about some different elements in it in case it's interesting to you, there is some of the time is spent, one of the characters is in prison, and you kind of see that perspective a little bit. And it's kind of just people working through the aftermath of something that wasn't supposed to happen and it happened, and grief, working through the grief of it, how to move on with your life, basically, when something like that happens, and definitely some depression that a couple of the characters have to work through. And then also you see some things through the perspective of a child in the future who was not involved in the traumatic incident that happened, but, you know, later is born and kind of is trying to understand what has happened to all of her family members to make them act this way. And so you're kind of, that's a little bit of an interesting element because you're seeing it through a kid's eyes and how that would affect someone else. But anyways, 2 stars, would not necessarily recommend, but I do recommend Kristen Hannah. So, okay, I know that I went through those in a little bit of a rambly way, and also that I didn't give crazy details. I don't even think I said even one character's name from any of the books. But I was trying to give you enough of an idea to decide if you want to read it or not without, you know, making it to where you didn't want to read it because I told you the whole thing. So hopefully I did okay at that, or maybe you're just like, okay, tell us what happened then. But I'll see what you guys think of this style of it, or if you'd rather me just straight up tell you the storyline of the book and like evaluate it a little bit more deeply or whatever. I'm not sure what would go over best, but I am obviously going to continue reading for the rest of 2022. What would be really nice is if I had a nice even 6 books at the end of the year. So maybe I'll do this again and talk about the ones that I read in the second half of the year. But let me know what you think, especially if you've read any of these books, if you, you know, have a rating yourself that you either liked them or didn't, or if you have other recommendations by these authors, or frankly, if you haven't read any of these books or even heard of any of them, I would love to hear your own book recommendations of what is your favorite. And again, just thank you for listening. I hope that, you know, this was helpful at least a little bit to you if you're trying to find something new to read. Or maybe if I explained one of the books and it was on your list and you don't want to read it anymore, then hopefully that was helpful too. But thanks again for joining me. And if you want to share with me your own recommendations, you can comment on my post on Instagram. If you go to Instagram and search for Morning by Morning Podcast, you'll find my account. You can also send me a DM. And if you have a moment and have not yet, it would be great if you could do a review or a rating of the podcast. Thanks again for joining me. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the podcast. If you want to give feedback on this topic, share other topics you want to hear about, or share what you're grateful for, you can follow the Instagram page, Morning by Morning Podcast. I would love to hear from you. Remember to find something to be grateful for today.